Let's pray, and we're going to open the Word today, and I've got a new series that I'm going to start to walk you through that I believe will be a help to all of us, an encouragement, and there's going to be some practical things that you're going to learn from this, all right? So let's go. 2022 is going to be upon us very soon. And as we start to look toward a new year, I want you to understand a couple of things about our church. Our church will be celebrating our 20th year as a church next year, early in the quarter. We do not have any details on how we will go about doing that. But the thought, I want to plant that seed in your brain right now, that God has been faithful, and this church has been here for 20 years, coming up on 20 years, and we are still here. We're still going to be faithful, and we're still going to do what God has told us to do. Now, with that said, we are moving from strengthening, not away and not like, oh, we're not going to do strengthening anymore. As Pastor Christine just mentioned to you, she said, listen, we've been strengthening, and we're going to keep strengthening. We're going to keep doing the strengthening part, right? And turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. We're going to talk about what we are going to be focusing on for this next season, and I believe probably until Jesus comes, this is what we need to be about. Matthew chapter 9, and we are going to pick up in verse 35, Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. And this is what we're talking about today. We're going to talk about harvest hands. Harvest hands. So if you're taking notes or if you're watching us home, harvest hands. Verse 35, when Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary, scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. As I was preparing for this message, I couldn't move on real quickly. The compassion of God. That is the only thing that is going to motivate believers to action. The compassion of Jesus, it said it moved him. Many of you know the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. God understands. But the compassion of Jesus, it moved him. He was moved with compassion because they were weary, scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. When I look at the world and I look at the culture and I look at the incredible discord and just, I mean, there is just such tension in our nation, but not just our nation, the whole world is groaning right now. The pandemic has put a magnifying glass on every flaw of every culture that you can imagine. We need Jesus. And the compassion of Jesus is what moved him. And then he goes on to say, and then he said to his disciples, verse 37, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. A couple of things I want to call your attention to when I thought about harvest. Harvest is multifaceted. This week, actually it started Sunday. Sunday we wanted to go as a family. to apple pick. It's harvest season here in New York. It's we are known for apples, and so we went to one of the beautiful orchards that is just a little drive from our house. You know, maybe about a 20-mile drive from our house, and huge orchard, beautiful vistas. In the distance, you can see the mountains. It is absolutely stunning. The weather was beautiful, and we got there. We didn't have a reservation. That was disappointing. We literally, we're like, we just want to pick apples. They're like, you need a reservation. It's COVID, you know. So we need a reservation. So we literally turned our car around, and we did not pick apples. That was disappointing, but then on Thursday, we made an appointment, and we had a reservation. And so that afternoon, we went. And you know what? There was almost nobody there. And here's the visual that I got. There were loads and loads and loads of apple trees. With beautiful apples, and it was a gorgeous day, and the sun was hitting the apples. And I looked around, and there was almost nobody picking apples. At one point, we were by ourselves in whole groves of apples.
Wow.
Nobody was around. And I got the picture with this verse. Jesus said the harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. And I started looking around, and we picked apples, and I picked this apple. These are really good. I forget what kind these are. Yeah, they said this was a Gala apple. It's really dark, dark red. It's almost, when the sun hits it, it almost looks black. It's gorgeous, right? At first, I thought it was a whole row of plum trees. The harvest was plentiful. And we picked apples. We had a wonderful time as a family. And but the other thing I noticed, like this apple, it's not the prettiest thing in the world. It's part of the reason why I show it to you today. It was ready for harvest, though. But it's not really the prettiest. There were prettier apples that were sitting on the trees. But this one has some flaws. This one has some spots. But you know what? I'm going to eat this apple, and it's going to be delicious. And so the thought came to me, and as I was praying through this, I felt like the Lord said to me, the harvest isn't always pretty. Because those that are ready for harvest, they're not perfect wax fruit that you place in a bowl in your living room. They might have flaws. They might need to be loved. And the other thing that came to me about harvest is that harvest, not only is it multifaceted, but you have benefit from harvest. God has benefit from harvest, and people have benefit from harvest. There's really, God has a benefit because he's calling people, right? He's calling people. And notice what it said. It said that he's the Lord of the harvest. In verse 38, therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into whose harvest is it? Whose harvest is it? His harvest. So it's his harvest, he's the Lord of the harvest. But I love what it said. He said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest, he's the Lord of the harvest, to send out laborers into his harvest field. One translation, I believe it's the New Living Translation, calls them that we need harvest hands. Harvest hands. And so that's what we're talking about today. So harvest is not always pretty. Harvest takes effort and cooperation from God's people. But if we are not moved with compassion, we will sit on the sidelines and let somebody else do the harvesting. If we're not moved with compassion, if we're just looking for the perfect apple, we're going to be passing by hundreds and thousands and even more that are waiting to be harvested. Why? Because He's the Lord of the harvest. You know, church family, I believe God has got us ready to this point. We might feel like Gideon's few men. And naturally speaking, we are. But here's the thing. With God, all things are possible. And I looked up what the actual word harvest means, and from English, it actually means to pluck, to gather fruit. What was I doing in the apple orchard with Pastor Christine and Abigail on Thursday? I was plucking fruit. You know, and trying them out and tasting one and saying, oh, I don't like that one.
Yeah,
that one wasn't good.
Every row.
And you know, just every tasting them all. Let's pick some more of these. I like the taste of those. You know, and but the other thing I noticed is that some really good apples had fallen. Mm-hmm. Had fallen down below the tree and were just getting trampled and bruised and rotten. And I go back to Jesus was moved with compassion. I want you to find the compassion of God for yourself. Know that God loves you. Because if you don't really know that, if you don't really experience that, it's going to be hard for you to develop compassion for those that are scattered. Amen. In fact, in the current climate that we're in, it's going to be easier. It's going to be easier to get angry at those that are scattered, especially Christians. We can get angry. Well, that's their own fault. I've heard Christians. I've seen it on Facebook. Listen, sometimes Christians can be mean. They ought not to be. We ought not to be. But sometimes we can be mean with our words, our comments, what we post on Facebook. Come on.
Yes, that's right.
I think the compassion of God needs to guide us. If you will allow the compassion of God to guide you, it will guide you into being part of the harvest hands. Because then you will pick the fruit that might be on the surface unlovely, but inside sweet, and you will have the benefit of it. Because you'll make a friend. You'll bring somebody to Christ. You will have the opportunity to pour into them. You'll have the opportunity to drink of the sweetness of that relationship. To see somebody come to Christ, to actually lead somebody to Christ and watch them grow. Some of the people over the years that have come to our church and I've had the privilege of praying with, or some of you have led them to the Lord and then brought them to church. It is so amazing to see how God uses those relationships. We're talking about harvest hands. We're talking about that the laborers are few, but if you count yourself as a harvest hand, raise your hand at me right now and say, I'm a harvest hand. If you're online, give us a like, give us a love, give us a shout. I'm a harvest hand. What does that mean? That means, Lord, what are we going to do today? Who are we going to reach today? Who's ripe? Who's ripe, Lord? And sometimes God might have you walk down a row that you normally don't want to walk down. You might say, well, that's just, that's outside my comfort zone. The reason why we've offered you some of these tools, the beads, the walking sticks, the keychains, is to give you tools to actually be the harvest hands. I believe God's putting us in a position to be ready. Now, here's the fun part, is that sometimes we can all get weary, right? We can all get a little tired, but there is something exciting about harvest time. There's something different in the air. When I looked off over the orchards with the crisp blue sky, And you could see that these trees were loaded down with apples. They were loaded. There was something kind of invigorating about seeing that. That God would give us spiritual eyes to see the harvest. Not just walk by it because maybe it doesn't look good. Not just walk by it because, well, that's just outside of my comfort zone. That's just something that, well, I already did that, you know. In being in church work for as long as I have, you know, I've met some wonderful people. I've met some people that are like, oh, well, I did my stint. What do you mean you did your stint? Oh, I volunteered at the church for 3 years. And, well, when was that? Oh, that was like 10, 15, 20 years ago. Really? So what are you doing with the Lord now? Oh, I'm just attending faithfully. Well, praise God. We're glad you're attending, but there is harvest to be done. There's strengthening to be done. There is work in His vineyard. But I love this because this, if you look at the context after all of this in Matthew chapter 9, you see that Jesus has gone about teaching all of the villages. He is laboring. He is absolutely laboring with the gospel, healing every kind of sickness. And it's at that point that he realizes how broken the people are. And you say, well, didn't he know that? Yes, he did. He's Jesus. But the scripture shows us there was a realization that he sees the multitudes. He saw the harvest and he was moved with compassion. There was something about seeing the harvest that excited him. Now, if you've ever met Pastor Sam and he starts to talk about the harvest, he's going to cry. And this is a man who grew up the oldest of 12 in Amish country. And he'll tell you story after story that when it was harvest time, it was all hands on deck. It was, what do I need to do to be a part of the harvest? Even the little kids do stuff in an Amish family. And at 5, he was plowing the fields with a team of mules. And so when you hear these stories, and you hear the stories that when harvest time came, they would help other people harvest. Their neighbors, the farm that was butted up against theirs. We got to go help, you know, that family get the harvest in. Why? Because there's a time. There's only a certain time that the harvest is available. If you go to the same apple orchard I went to on Thursday, and you go there in the first week of December, you are not going to find anything on the tree. You're going to find what looks like almost something out of a horror show. You're going to see rows and rows of trees with no leaves on them. And it's going to be barren. Harvest time. Harvest hands. That's you and me. That's, Lord, what is it that we're doing to reach this community? To be there to say, hey, listen, we're here for you. Can we pray for you? What can we do for you? How can we be a blessing to you? You say, Pastor, I'm already doing that. Praise God if you're already doing that. Now let's keep doing it. Now let's look for opportunities to work together on something like the harvest party, on something like the tree lighting. We're figuring out how we can be a part of things that the community is already doing, that we can find our way into those things and say, hey, we're here. We're here. We've been here. And we're going to be here, and we're going to be known not as just, oh, that strange church that's in the office building, but we're going to be known as a church that loves people, a church that is moved with compassion, a church that sees the lost saved, families restored, relationships restored, and God ministering to people in their hurt place that they're in that scattered place. young people that are in their 20s right now. They call them the nuns. N-O-N-E-S. Sociologists, people who study church growth and study the church in America, people like the Barna group, they all say the nuns are there and they're waiting to be harvested. The nuns are the ones who were raised in church but have left the church. The nuns are the ones who have a certain knowledge about God but really have no real connection to God. We are harvest hands to give that connection back, to restore what has been broken, to be the people that God's called us to be. And when I look at what chapter 10 in Matthew 19 says, it said this, and this is, you know, sometimes when we look at chapters, we stop. So at the end of chapter 9, it says, oh, pray the Lord of the harvest, send out laborers into whose harvest? His harvest. Right? Well, we always stop right there because it's a new chapter. Pastor Doug, it's a new chapter. They didn't add the numbers until many years later. When you see a break in a chapter, they just thought it was a logical place to put it. But if you look at what it said, and when he had called his disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. And then he goes on to say, now the names, and he names all of the apostles, and he sends them into those towns and villages that he just went to. But he empowers them by the Holy Spirit. So here, church family, those that are watching at home, harvest hands that are listening, you have been empowered to be harvest hands. If you're weary, you don't have to stay weary. There is an excitement when you start doing things for the kingdom of God. There is excitement about doing things. You know, I look back at the September Fest that we were a part of. There was a buzz. There was a buzz going on. There was something catchy. Yes. I mean, when townspeople come up to you and say, "Hey, what are you doing over there? What are you doing over there? You guys come every year, but man, you changed up what you were doing.
Praise God.
You changed up what you were doing. You know, we used to have a little table. Sometimes two. We'd sit there, we'd pray for people, hand out stuff. I'm not saying we didn't do things. But when we changed the focus and changed what we were doing, there was a buzz going on. People talk, right? And I noticed among our church family, they were getting excited. You know, I even had a young person come up who hadn't been to our church in a little while. He says, "I'm coming back to church." So when you start seeing that, you say, okay, God, you're doing something. You're doing something. You're doing something. The season just changed. And I say that right now, church family. The season just changed, naturally speaking and spiritually speaking.
Amen.
So now what you need to do is start looking for the change. You know, when you know that it's fall and the weather people announce that it's fall, what do? You start pulling your jackets out.
Yeah.
It can still be 80 degrees out, but you pull your jacket out, right? Because you're like, I'm going to need this.
Amen.
Yeah, because now when you wake up in the morning, the season changed. Oh, it's getting darker a little bit early. Season changed. But the harvest is only for a time. Everybody gets involved in the harvest. Lord, what can I do to make this more efficient? You know, our opportunity as a church right now is here when it comes to children and youth and families with young children. That's our opportunity. Because if we're going to see this church thrive, which I believe God wants it to thrive, I've not given up on that.
Amen.
Then here's the thing. We've got to reach the ones with families. We've got to reach the little ones. We've got to reach the youth. They said this, that if you don't accept Christ by the time you're 14, 15, 16 years old, chances are less and less and less and less that you will ever walk with Christ. The older you are without knowing Jesus, the harder it is to know Him. It's interesting that somebody asked D.L. Moody one time. He was out soul winning. D.L. Moody loved to just go out and talk to people about Jesus. Do you know right now there is anointing that our young people, that is what they want to do?
That's right.
That's what they do on Sundays? They look for opportunities to share. They're flagging cars down. Glory to God. You know, we already had to have a safety meeting, but make sure that they... Glory to God. You got young people, you know, you got young people that are having a passion for these things. And adults, you better catch up.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Because they will bowl you over.
Hallelujah.
But they need the wisdom. And they need the understanding. And if you've been a Christian for a long time, they need you. And if you've been a Christian for a long time and you've already heard all that, you know that, you know, where can you engage? Where can you connect? Well, I can tell you, on Sunday mornings, this place is buzzing. By 9:05, this place starts to buzz with people. There are things to do to be ready for a 10:45 service. Prayer is one of them. Sound, setting up, bringing equipment down, putting signs out. There are things to put your hand to. Maybe you're not the best at sharing the bead bracelet. But let me tell you something. There's still a place for you. There's still a place for you to be a part of Harvest Hands. Now, Romans chapter 12. Turn with me there, please. Romans chapter 12. I'm going to pick up in verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what's good. Be kindly affectionate to one another. With brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Notice what it said in verse 11. Serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. You know, in recent years, we've heard so much about, I don't want to be under law. I don't want to be under law. I don't want to be under law. Don't put me under the law. Don't put me under law. I'm under grace. I'm under grace. And all of this is good to hear that we are under grace. But folks, we are to serve the Lord. We are to serve Him. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Hallelujah. Recently we started getting some of our prayer workers back in here to start leading us in our prayer time. In order to have that prayer time on time, we've got to be set up and ready. We need help in order to do that efficiently. We need Harvest Hands to help here. We'd like to see our children's classes go back to a regular schedule, not just the second and fourth, but regularly, so our children are being ministered to. Because folks, if the harvest comes in, they want their kids to be ministered to as soon as they get here. They don't have to wait until next month. All right, that's your pastor speaking. You still love me. All right. So we need to look for opportunities. You say, the pandemic's still here. I know the pandemic is still here. But guess what? The gospel still has to go forward. We'll do it efficiently. We'll do it safely. We will do whatever it takes. But we're going to get the gospel out. We are going to go into those places. Why? Because they're scattered. They're broken without a sheep, with a shepherd without a sheep, or excuse me, sheep without a shepherd. Yes. God wants us. I'm getting excited. Can you tell? All right. So, and he goes on to tell us to be fervent in serving the Lord. Yes. To be fervent in serving the Lord. And patient in tribulation. Distributing, verse 13, to the needs of the saints. The needs of the saints. What is that? That's strengthening. Is that strengthening? When you give in this, and when you give to this ministry through your tithes and offerings, and yes, it does take tithes to run a church. You know, I've met Christians and who've tried to argue with me about tithes not in the New Testament. Okay, tithe was before the Old Covenant.
Amen.
I get it. It's not in the New Testament. But how do you think God takes care of his people? If you want to go with the New Testament model, it said that they shared absolutely everything. They shared their income with each other. Everything. And nobody's asking you to do that. I don't have some compound out in the middle of, you know, the country somewhere asking you to, you know, we're all going to live together and do that. No, we're not doing a commune. So here's the thing. When we give, that's how it meets the needs of God's people. I'm able to help one of our members, two of our members, three of our, whoever comes across who says, listen, I'm in need right now. We're able to help. Why? Because we're ministering to the needs of the saints. That's strengthening. That's strengthening when you're hurting, when you can't pay a bill. I want to know about it. Not because I'm nosy.
Yes. Amen.
But because I want to help.
Amen.
Because we're God's people. We're God's family. People should know. Listen, if you're a part of that church, they help you. They help you emotionally. They help you socially. They help you. Why? Because God has moved us with compassion. All of us have been broken at some point. And if it wasn't for Jesus, I'm a mess without him. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. That's connection. That's a relationship. That's harvest hands working together. When you know you're having a bad day, when you know you're going through something, we want to know about it. Again, not because we want to be nosy. Because we want to agree with you in prayer. We want to say, hey, that's what we're here for. We've all been there. We hurt when you're hurt. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Verse 18. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. And do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We just sang about the goodness of God. When you've experienced the goodness of God, you give it back out.
Yes.
You give it back out. Do not get caught up in all of the swirling things that are going on in the world right now. Don't get caught up in that. But get your eyes back on the Lord Jesus. God wants to put us in a place where we can enjoy the harvest as his harvest hands. We can be pleasing to him because it's his harvest. And notice this, that the harvest benefits everybody. The harvest benefits everybody. Listen, it benefits everybody. You know, I'm reminded of what Tom Lilienthal, when he went to the Czech Republic several years ago, our first missionary that we ever sent out from this church. And when he went into a little gypsy community. I'm using the word gypsy loosely right now. They prefer to use the term Romani people, so I'm not saying that in an offensive way. But that he went into this Romani community, you would know it as gypsies from TV shows, etc. And they went into this community, and he led two people to the Lord. Two people were led to the Lord. Another businessman from our church, Brother Vince Anderson, had gone on a trip with him and said, why don't we build them a playground? They're living in a terrible place. Awful. Let's build them a playground. So our church actually helped to fund a playground in a little community that had no playground for the kids. Tom would go there. He would drive 30 minutes from his house with Irena, and they would go there, and they would just go door to door. And if you've ever been around Tom, Tom's going to talk about the Lord. Even if you're not a Christian, he's going to keep talking. And he's going to keep talking. And the only way he's going to shut up is if you tell him, I don't want to talk to you. And these Romani people opened up their heart toward him. And in a matter of a couple of years, they got a building. They started a church. Tom began to pastor them. They started getting saved. They started tithing. They stopped. Some of them stopped drinking and smoking. The ones that were living together got married. Lots of weddings. Because there was a lot of common law wives and all kinds of things going on. They stopped gambling. They started planting flowers because Tom loves to plant flowers. He got him a lawnmower. They started mowing the lawn. The European Union people heard something's going on in that Romani community. We want to know what it is. They sent officials in. They said, we don't understand it. These people got jobs. They've never had jobs. They've always been unemployed. Their standard of living went up. What is that? That is the harvest benefiting others. The harvest benefits you, it benefits God, and it benefits those around. The standard of living went up. They started buying cars instead of just taking the public transport to work. I've preached at that church. Tom no longer is the pastor, but there is a wonderful Romani man who is the pastor who got saved under Tom Lilienthal's ministry. And when you walk into their sanctuary, it's not like ours. There might be a cat running around. Might be a dog running around. Because they love animals and they won't put any animals out. There's a three-legged dog. Because they said, you know, we have been abused our entire life. They take in everybody. They're some of the most loving people you will ever meet. And I say that to you because the harvest will bring everybody up. Everybody is up. Harvest hands, people. Harvest hands. Harvest hands are for you. They're for God, and they're for those around you. The harvest is plentiful. It's multifaceted. And I know that God has that provision for us. As we celebrate harvest season, let's experience harvest all year round. But let's do it right now because I believe there's a spiritual season that's available for us. Just talking to our young people. And hearing them talk. You know, they are actually connecting with each other on Zoom, on their own, without youth leaders, to read the scriptures.
Wow, praise God.
How many adults are doing that? I'm not saying that to guilt you. I'm saying that God's doing something. Let's say, God, what are you doing? What part do I have to play?
Yes,
I'd like to see our children's ministry, I'd like to see it go beyond where it's ever been before. I'd like to see our youth ministry go beyond where it's ever been before. I'd like to see a young adults ministry that I have had in my heart for years come about where we have young adults that are in their college age when we lose them all, typically, as a church, not just our church, but almost every church I know. I'd like to see us not only not only get that youth ministry up and then they disappear, but that we would see the college age ministry of kids start to thrive, that they have their own service, they have their own worship, you know, on a weeknight somewhere. They start talking about the things that college kids talk about, that are passionate about, but Jesus is the center of it all. I believe that that can happen. I know it can happen. Right now, on Tuesday nights in Lancaster, PA, there is a college group that meets somewhere around 600 to 700 kids meet for their singles ministry at the Worship Center in Lancaster, PA. And God's doing something. They call it the living room. Young people are wanting the authentic harvest hands, because harvest is for all of us. And it's not always pretty. It means you might have to deal with somebody that has issues. But guess what? You've had issues too.
That's right.
Jesus loved you when you were unlovable. He found us when we were unlovable. So now, let's go out and be the harvest hands that God's called us to be. Amen? Praise God. There's more to this that's deeper, that I believe you're going to get some more practical ways you can do this. But I just really wanted to get that out today. That's in my heart, that it's the harvest season. It's not always pretty. It benefits not only you, because you get to eat the harvest, right? And it's sweet. But it benefits God, because he said he's the Lord of the harvest. It's his thing.
Yes.
It's his thing. And then it benefits everybody else. Everybody else. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, for helping us today. Thank you for speaking to us that the Lord of the harvest, the Lord of the harvest, you have commissioned us at this time in our lives to open the door, to open our mouths, and to open the hearts. And that's what harvest is going about in our lives, in our community. Help us, Father God, where we need to be adjusted, where we need to get refocused on things and priorities in our lives, prayer and reading the word, so that we can be full and ready to meet that harvest need. Father, I pray, God, that you would minister to your people in such a powerful way. Father, that you would fill them with the Holy Ghost, with power to go out into the highways and byways and to be those instruments, those harvest hands, to say, yes, I'm a harvest hand. I'm a harvest hand. Father, I thank you for helping us, for seeing that harvest, that we can see it with the eye of faith, but we can also act on it and see the harvest come in to the storehouse. Thank you, Father. Thank you for it in the name of Jesus. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus, or you're watching online, I want to give you that opportunity to know Jesus Christ. It is an opportunity just to experience a relationship with him. He's calling you. Maybe you're here today or online and you need to recommit your life to Christ. It's about time that you just come back to Jesus and put him as the main focus of your life and what you're doing for the harvest. If that's you, either on the first invitation that I said, or the second, that you want to recommit your life, I want you just to indicate by letting us know, messaging us. If you're here today, we're going to pray a simple prayer out loud just to encourage you, in case you're there by yourself, that you can hear this prayer and pray this prayer of salvation and recommitment right now. Say, Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus.
I believe
that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for my sins, that he rose from the dead. I receive his forgiveness by faith. I receive his restoration by faith in the name of Jesus. I call Jesus my Lord and Savior from this day forth, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or you prayed it as an act of rededication, we want to know about it. Message us on Facebook. We want to know that God is doing something in your life. We can send you something, help get you hooked up with a church if you're not near one, that preaches the Word of God and that is is going to be a strength to you. Let's have our sending out verse right now. Psalm 121, 7 and 8. We just say this out loud together as a prayer and as a way of speaking over our church. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121, 7 and 8.